You are listening to the Live Free Experience. I'm your host, Brianna Bowley, trauma coach for high performers. I believe that understanding the nervous system and all its wisdom is the key to creating and experiencing all that we desire. And I believe that honest, anything goes conversation paves the way for us to begin a healing journey that has us continuously stepping into more of who we are. I've been blessed to work with, for, and alongside some of the best of the best in their chosen fields. And it's my pleasure to be the platform to share the wisdom and insights I've gained with each of you. Together, we'll explore trauma-informed performance and optimization, business, and self-expression. So in a world where everything touches everything, I encourage you to listen selfishly and with your own circumstance in mind. As I promise, if you found yourself here, there's a piece of wisdom wanting to land in your world.
So I want to talk about sisterhood. And this topic has been circulating in my mind for quite a few weeks now. And I've been waiting for it to kind of land and settle into a groove before I spoke into it, because I think that it's an important topic. I took a vow some months ago to commit to stopping emasculating men. I took a vow that I let go of the right to emasculate men. And essentially what that means is being more mindful of the words that I use, the way that I choose to communicate, the way that I choose to relate to men, and coming from a much more loving space. And, you know, I think that I've been practicing this vow for years on some level, but it's a deepening process. And flagging, of course, that I am human, and being human means being messy. And so, of course, there are times where I've tripped up, and I will continue to trip up, I have no doubt. And in those moments, acknowledging myself and forgiving myself and having grace for myself, and as I know better, doing better, and in the moments when I forget, just gently bringing myself back. And my intention behind this vow was to rise together. I think that society really has it trained into so many of us that it's us against them, especially where men and women are concerned. And I just think that that's such a scarcity-based paradigm. It's such a low-level way of thinking. And kind of to just sidestep here for a second, for anyone listening, especially women who've, you know, experienced pain at the hands of men, I get it, like, me too. And I think that that is a symptom of resentment. It's a symptom of powerlessness. It's a symptom of being stripped of our power, of not seeing one another for years upon years upon years upon years upon years and so on, not really seeing one another. And so it's kind of the pattern interrupt to commit to no longer adding to that, no longer throwing fuel on the fire. Because if we continue to make someone the enemy, of course they're going to continue to act like the enemy. And I really do believe that we rise together when we acknowledge another's power, whether they're male or female. When we acknowledge another's power, we give them permission to be powerful. And when we feel powerful, we no longer operate from defensiveness or reactivity, or we no longer, you know, have to bear arms. We no longer have to carry these weapons of words or, you know, whatever. And so the intention in taking that vow was to commit to rising together, to recognizing that that we are more powerful together, and that nobody wins when we're making it a competition. And after taking that vow, I saw things immediately shift. I witnessed things immediately shift in the way, it's going to choke me up, in the way that I experienced men in my life. And I've always been a man lover. I've always loved men, you know, even in the moments when I've hated them. I've always seen men for what they are, protectors, providers, to ultimately good-hearted beings, you know. But this shifted something. This really shifted something for me. And it's been the most beautiful journey. And then I realized how much I think that women not only headhunt men, but we headhunt other women. And I know that I'm definitely guilty of this. I've definitely headhunted women in the past, and I've definitely been headhunted many, many, many times in my life. At risk of getting a bit woo-woo here, you know, I still have visceral memories of past lifetimes being burnt at the stake. And I think that many women resonate with this, whether that be memories of past lives or whether that be, you know, ancestral trauma passed down. It's still visceral in our cells, this experience of, you know, being attacked for being slightly outside of the box or for shining too bright or for indirectly and unintentionally offending another. And so just 2 weeks ago, I took the vow to let go of the right to emasculate women. And this is what I want to really speak into, because my heart breaks at times for the way I see women treat one another. And I think that there is really something to be said for women making the commitment to rise together, for women making the commitment to choose sisterhood over, you know, competition or over using one another as punching bags. And so I'll be the first to put my hand up and say that, you know, my experience of women in the past has been that they can't be trusted. I grew up much more familiar with being around men. You know, I had an older brother. I have an older brother. And I grew up, you know, hanging out with all of his friends and all male cousins. And I was a tomboy growing up. So, of course, you know, riding skateboards and motorbikes and playing in the dirt and whatever else, you know, it set me up in situations where I was continuously around males. Even as I got older, you know, being more into sports and becoming a personal trainer and working in, you know, massage for injury prevention and so on and so forth. Like, I was always the only female in the male locker room, you know? And so, of course, that means that there is this part of me that I've always felt much more comfortable with men. I feel that men are much simpler. They're much more black and white. They say what they mean. And so it feels easier. It's felt easier. And I've had experiences over the years where what I thought were loyal friendships with women, you know, kind of had me thrown under the bus. And so there's always been a mistrust there for me. There's always been kind of that alarm system, that traumatized alarm system in my body that is on high alert for the first sign of, you know, untrustworthiness. And what I will say is, as I've done more nervous system regulation work, and this is the work that I teach, I felt that side of me settle. You know, I've started to really hold myself. I've started to really learn how to hold myself. So even if the women in my world begin to prove to be untrustworthy, I've got myself, you know. It's not dangerous because, like, I'm still here. I've still got me. And so this is what I really want. This is a message that I really want to send for women. When you have yourself, when you really know how to hold yourself, when you serve as the banks to your river, you become less susceptible to, like, damage from the external world, you know, like, you become less available for falling into victimhood. And as I've witnessed things play out in my world in recent months, I want to encourage women to, first of all, do the work on themselves so that, you know, A, you've got yourself, but B, when you have built this kind of relationship with yourself, it's like you'll no longer settle for things that don't serve. You'll no longer settle for things that distract. You'll no longer settle for things that bring unnecessary and purposelessness or purposeless drama into your life. You'll no longer allow people to cross boundaries and treat you like dirt. And it's like there's a new standard. There's a new standard. And I don't say standards from, you know, that whole, like, build a barbed wire fence around yourself and wall up and harden up, you know, like, it's doing this from an open heart. It's choosing standards and boundaries from an open heart, because when you have open-hearted boundaries in place, it actually opens you to love. It opens you to being able to really see someone and really be seen, because it's building, again, it's building the banks of the river. It's building safety and structure, safety through structure. And that's when you can really settle into relating with someone. And so I've been witnessing this pattern play out in my life, which at least playing out in dynamics that I see in my life. I've been observing dynamics from others in my life of dropping standards in friendship, of choosing to allow women to treat one another like shit, really. Like, let's just call it what it is, treating one another like shit through the lens of, well, she's hurt and she's in pain and she's traumatized and, you know, she has a good heart. And I'm going to call this for what it is. It's enabling. I think that sometimes the kindest thing you can do is to draw a fucking line in the sand and say, hey, I'm not a stand for this. I'm not available for this. I think the most loving thing you can do is to say, I can see you're in pain. I can see you're hurt and not in my world. I think the most loving thing you can do sometimes is to call people out on their bullshit. And of course, there's more productive ways of doing this. There's more or less productive ways of doing this, you know? So I think there's tact involved. But I think we get to practice in sisterhood not dropping our standards just because we understand that women are going through a lot of pain as a collective. Because let's face it, let's be honest here. We've all got something. We've all got some level of trauma. Whether it's something that we're aware of or not, we all have some level of trauma. We all have some level of distrust in one another. There's levels to this game, of course. But it all comes down to, well, how much has an individual been willing to build from that, to dig through that and find the gold? And that's our individual responsibility. And so when we drop our standards because of someone's hurt, you know, when we ultimately make excuses for someone's behavior because they're in pain, we enable, we allow more of the same. We ultimately grant them permission to continue to disempower themselves and disempower others through behavior that's not conducive with better, that's not conducive with being more open-hearted, that's not conducive with rising together, you know? I often think of, you know, there's such a narrative at the moment around like women calling out, quote unquote, and I don't like this word, narcissistic men. You know, that narrative of toxic masculinity. I don't like the term. This narrative of toxic masculinity. Let's call out the men, the Me Too movement. Let's call out the men for all the things that they've done to us. And there's a place for that to a degree. There's a place for speaking up about the pain we've experienced and, of course, holding those accountable. There's such a big narrative around that, and yet I watch women allow other women to get away with similar things, sometimes much more damaging behaviors. And so if we allowed men to get away with some of the behaviors that we allow women to get away with, can you imagine? I think collectively we're so quick to put men up on the platform to be judged for quote unquote wrongdoings, for toxic behavior, but then we let it slide with women. If we had men verbally abusing us, getting in our face, you know, yelling and ultimately, you know, displaying this toxic reactive behavior, like we're so quick to condemn them, and yet we let it slide with other women. There's this narrative of like girls will be girls, you know, it's just women. That's just what women do. Women, oh, it's just gossipy, catty, bitchy behavior. And no, I don't buy into that. I don't buy into like this is just what women do. I don't buy into that. This is what wounded little girls do. It's not what women do. Women hold one another accountable. Women choose to rise together, women lovingly hold boundaries. Women lovingly call one another out when we're being shitheads, right? We lovingly call one another out. And so I've come to a place in my life where I'm incredibly, incredibly discerning in who I allow into my inner circle. Incredibly discerning. There's limited seats at my table. And so, of course, those seats need to be filled with people with integrity. Needs to be filled with people with communication skills and conflict resolution skills and who hold one another with a level of respect and with open hearts and open hands. And, you know, the people that sit at my table are incredible human beings. You know, those in my inner circle, they have to be of a certain caliber. And, you know, that's not to wank myself off. That's not to, you know, that's not to be elitist or, you know, to anything of that nature. It's just to say my time, my energy, my focus is far too valuable. And so is the energy of the people at my table. And so I'm incredibly blessed with, you know, the women in my life. We sit down and we have the tough conversations. When we've crossed each other intentionally or unintentionally, we sit down and we have the conversation. And we talk it through and we form deeper bonds as a result of those conversations. You know, I think the most beautiful thing about conflict is that it comes seeded with the opportunity to deepen a connection. Conflict can either serve as a destructive force or a constructive force. And I think that which way it goes comes down to the maturity of the two individuals. But it starts with holding a standard for ourselves, for what we will and will not allow in our lives. And that means holding ourselves accountable and it means holding others accountable. And so what I really want to hit home for those listening, whether you're male or female, is please stop this narrative of like, oh, this is just how it is. This is how it's been done. This is how women are. This is, you know, girls will be girls. Because yes, maybe that is how it's been done in the past. And it makes sense, of course. It makes sense. This isn't to shame anyone who has fallen into catty, bitchy, gossipy drama behavior, because me too, for many, many, many years, and probably still momentarily today. You know, it makes sense. Women are the smaller, weaker, quote unquote, you know, gender. And so we have different survival tactics to men. We're much more sneaky, and I don't say that negatively. I don't intend a negative connotation behind the word sneaky. We survive based off social credibility. And so, of course, we survive by attacking the credibility of others. And we do this through, you know, in social interaction. And that's all survival patterning. That's all survival patterning. That's your standard survival mechanisms. That's, as I often talk about, that's the rat scampering around on the floor, trying to avoid the prey. Trying to avoid the predator, trying to avoid becoming the prey. Versus the eagle. The eagle soars. The eagle looks out with a greater vantage point. The eagle can sit back and know that it's not under attack. It can relax, you know. The eagle holds itself to a higher standard, because it's operating from intentionality rather than from mere scampery, desperate survival mechanism. And so it's a complete paradigm shift. It's a complete consciousness shift. It's shifting out of scarcity and into more of an abundance kind of mindset, more of an abundant way of being. And this is all nervous system regulation work. This is all building your capacity. And this is the work that I teach. And so I think of this as a call to choose better for yourself, to stop allowing behavior that diminishes, to recognize that we rise in power when we surround ourselves with people who are in their power, and that, you know, a drama, as addictive as it may be, as entertaining as it can be, as much as it, you know, may provide us with validation or significance or a sense of belonging or a sense of safety, there's a better way. Safety through power, safety through holding ourselves to a higher level, safety through calling others up, safety through remaining open-hearted and doing the work on ourselves to peel away the walls that keep us closed, that's the better way. That's all I have time for. Anything less than that, it just does not have a seat at my table. And that's not to say that, you know, there is never going to be a seat available. It's to say, hey, go and do the work, go and do what's necessary, and we can rehash, we can renegotiate later down the track if relevant. So yeah, if you're listening, choose more for yourself. Stop settling in love, in friendship, in financial, in career, in... Just stop fucking settling. Stop fucking settling. There's more out there for you, and you deserve all of it. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Live Free Experience podcast. Now, I'm a real person back here, so every mention, every share, every bit of feedback is deeply valued, and I love nothing more than hearing what golden nuggets are landing for you. So if something did land for you, or there's someone in your world who needs to hear this, please share it with them and share it to your social media. Tag me in it so that I'm aware of it and I can share it to my story. As I said, every little bit counts, every little bit helps get this message out there. And I want to close off today's conversation. Ladies, this one's for you. I have a free ebook and audio training called Fierce and Free. And this is for the woman who is looking to really step things up a level in her world, looking to overcome people-pleasing tendencies, build greater boundaries, and just be more discerning in where their energy is going. So you can get access to that one free at www.fiercefreewoman.com. And I will speak to you all soon.